So first of all, Sion, you're here?
I'm here.
All right, Sion. So the shiur is going to the divrei Torah that we're going to speak is should be Le'ilui Nishmat.
Shlomo ben Zeliah.
Shlomo ben?
Zeliah.
Zeliah. It's Neshama Shel Rav Naliyah, Bezrat Hashem. Should be a Melitz Yosher for his children and for all of Am Yisrael. Okay, Parashat Noach. Parashat Noach. Let's begin with a few questions. The parashah begins, Ele Toldot Noach. These are the Toldot of Noach. These are the offsprings of Noach. And then it says, Ele Toldot Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorotav. Noach was a tzadik and a tamim in his generation. So the question is, we know that Torah does not use not one extra letter, not one letter, not one word that is written in the Torah is unnecessary. Everything is with pinpoint accuracy and written for a reason. Why does it mention Noach's name two times? Ele toldot Noach. These are the offsprings, generations of Noach, comma, Noach ish tzadik. Noach was a tzadik. It could just say very easily, El toldot Noach, hu haya tzadik, or shehaya tzadik. It mentions his name two times. For what reason? Question number two. The Dora Mabul, a generation that was wiped out through this Mabul, was so bad. Was very bad. They did horrible things. You must be really bad if you cause God to destroy the entire world. And as the Psukim and Rashi explain, they were guilty of many averot. Most importantly, they were guilty of the avera of immorality, of gilui arayot. Immorality not only among the human beings, Rashi points out, immorality even among the animals. Go figure. But even though that was all true, Lo nechtam gezar dinam ela ala gezel. What tipped the scales was the avera of what? Not gilu arayot, not avodah zara, not shfichut damim. It was gezel. It was the fact that they were stealing from each other. They were not careful with each other's possessions. Now, asks the Sfat Emet, listen, stealing from each other is a very, very bad thing. It's horrible. Should not be done. But if you would ask me to weigh on a scale, on one side, the avera of Gezel, and on the other side, Gilui Arayot, right? It's very clear which avera would outweigh the other avera. Gilui Arayot is one of the big three. You have to sacrifice your life not to do it. Gezel was the determining factor in the destruction of the world by Dora Mabul. Why Gezel? Third question. Pasuk says, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorotav. He was a tzadik and a tamim. What's a tzadik? What's a tamim? What does that mean? Furthermore, Rashi tells us, Rashi focuses on the word bedorotav. He was a tzadik and tamim in his generation. And Rashi tells us, yesh merabotenu, there are from our rabbis, dorshim oto lishvach, that understand Noach in a praiseworthy way, that what? That if he was a tzaddik in this generation that was filled with Rasha'im, all the more so he would be an even bigger tzaddik in let's say Avraham Avinu's generation or another generation. And then Rashi continues, Ve'yesh shedorshim oto lignai, and you could also interpret Noach in a detrimental way. How so? Lefi dorai tzaddik. Yeah, only according to his generation. It's all relative. Relative to his generation, he was a tzaddik. Of course, you're the best player on the worst team. It doesn't mean you're good. But v'ilu haya bedoro shel Avraham Avinu, lo haya nechshav l'klum. He would be a nobody. He would be an average Joe in Avraham Avinu's generation. Noach, he wasn't all that. What's going on over here? Is he a tzaddik? Is he not a tzaddik? Who was Noach? Why is Rashi quoting these two pshats, seemingly opposites? So, let's open up our discussion tonight with this beautiful mashal, as brought down in the Sefer Pardes Yosef.
He brings down this beautiful mashal of a villager, a guy who lived in a village. He wasn't so wealthy, very simple individual. But Baruch Hashem, he married off his daughter to a Talmid Chacham, to an Avrich, to a kol guy, and he was proud of it. He was so proud to marry off his daughter to such a special individual that his son-in-law would be investing his time in Torah Kedosha, investing his time day and night, v'higita bo yomam v'alayla, in learning Torah day and night. And he was fully supportive of that, to the best of his ability. He wasn't all wealthy, but all the money that he had, he used to support his children. So he went to his chatan and he said, listen, I want to give you a gift. I'm so proud of you. I want to give you a gift. I'm very, you know, I want to express my thanks to you, my gratitude. What can I get for you? The chatan, son-in-law, you know, being a very humble person, who was a low-maintenance person, he didn't really need much in order to survive, in order to live. He said, I don't want to spend more of your money, or you're so nice to me. I don't want to spend more of your money. And the father-in-law insisted. The father-in-law said, no, I'm going to get you something. Tell me what you want. I may as well get you something that you want. So the son-in-law said, listen, it happens to be that we're around the time of, you know, the holiday of Sukkot is approaching. And beautiful etrogim are very hard to come by. So please, if you're able to afford a nice etrog for me, you know, there are none in our town over here. You may have to travel. If you really want to get me something, that's something that I would like. Father-in-law says, thank you for telling me. I'm going to go take it upon myself, find you a nice, beautiful etrog. Mehudar, beautiful. He travels to the next city, couldn't find anything. Travels to the next city, asks around. The people say, hey, yeah, the Rav has the only one in the city. Good luck getting it from him. Goes to the Rav and he says, hey, can I see your etrog? So why do you want to see my etrog? I don't want to see it. He looks at it, mehudar, beautiful. He says, this is my etrog. Rabbi says, what do you mean it's your etrog? It's mine. No, it's mine. I'm going to buy it off of you. What do you mean? It's the only one in the city. I'm going to buy it off of you. How about this? How about $1,000? I'm throwing out a number. Rabbi says, $1,000? $1,000, I could do a lot with that money, $1,000. And we could figure out a situation. $1,000 could support a lot of poor people. And that was actually a cheshbon that was made back in the day. So the rabbi decided, fine, deal. I'll take $1,000 for the etrog. $1,000, an unheard of amount. The father-in-law came back, he was so happy. It made a big dent in his wallet. But you know what? He was so proud of his son-in-law. Bought him $1,000 etrog, the only one in that city. And the next city. Came back, he was so happy, he was so proud. And he bumped into his neighbor. His neighbor said, hey, look very happy. Why are you so happy? So he told him the whole story. The neighbor said, you know what? I'm also proud of my son-in-law. I think I'm also going to go and buy him an etrog. That's a great idea. What city did you go to? He said, I went to this city. I'm going to go there. He said, you know, you're not going to find anything. Why not? I'll pay all the money in the world. Because I got the last one. That's why. You're not going to find another one. So he's thinking, listen, I really want to buy him an etrog. What should we do? What should we do? He said, listen, I'll pay you for half of it. And we know the halacha is that an etrog of shutafim, of two partners, two people partner up and buy an etrog, they could both use it and they could both be yotze. They both own it. So I'll pay you for half of it. We'll be partners in this etrog. And we'll both use it. I'll use half of it for my son-in-law, use half of it for your son-in-law. And they both said, great idea. He took out a knife, and he sliced the beautiful etrog, sliced it in half. And the first father-in-law said, wow, listen, I got a deal out of it. I got a mehudar etrog, a beautiful etrog, and I paid half the price. Let me go to my son-in-law. He brings the etrog to his son-in-law. He says to him, you know, my chatan, I'm so proud of you. Here you go. You wanted an etrog? Here you go. What happened was, the chatan said, Mechila, my father-in-law, he said, a bracha can be made on an etrog even if it's not mehudar, as long as it's complete. But a bracha cannot be made on an etrog, even if it's very mehudar, but not complete. I'm sorry, I can't do anything with this. That's the mashal. Says the Pardes Yosef, Noach was an ish tzaddik. Good. He was a very big tzaddik. But not only was he a tzaddik, tamim. Tamim means he was complete. He was a complete person. He was a well-rounded person from start to finish. Meaning what? He wasn't just a tzaddik that was ben adam la-makom. He wasn't only a righteous person. He wasn't only a person who fulfilled God's will. He also respected other people. He also had midot. His ben adam la-chavero was on an equal level to his ben adam la-makom. Because if one follows ben adam la-makom very strongly, but lacks ben adam la-chavero, he is an incomplete person. He may be mehudar, he may be beautiful. His actions, his ben adam la-makom may be beautiful, but he's not complete. He's not complete. Noach, the pasuk is praising him. Ish tzaddik tamim haya bedorato. Perhaps that's why the pasuk repeats his name two times. Ele toldot Noach, Noach. Two times. Why? To bring out the point. Noach was not stam a person. It wasn't a simple person that learned day and night, that had a very strong relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a person who had midot, who excelled in ben adam l'chavero. He was two-dimensional, not one-dimensional. He was a person that was complete. Sfat Emet tells us, you know why? Lo nechtam gzar dinam el ala gezel. What's pshat? Gezel is worse than gilu areot? No, it's not worse than gilu areot. Says the Sfat Emet something unbelievable. He says that when a person, that the Gemara in Shabbat tells us that even if a person has 999 angels that are prosecuting against him in Shamayim, they're all saying, make this, punish this guy, punish this guy. One angel says he did this bad. And another angel says he did that thing bad. Did this avera, that avera. 999 of them. All telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of all kings, the Judge of all judges, punish him. 999. But one small little angel in the corner speaks up and says, hey, actually, he did one good thing. And therefore, don't punish him. The Gemara says, Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to that one angel. And says the Sfat Emet, what angel is that? That's the angel that's created when a person does mitzvot that are ben adam l'chavero. When a person respects another Jew, when he honors another Jew, he creates this beautiful angel that has the power, has the ability to outweigh 999 prosecuting angels that were created from averot of ben adam l'makom. Unbelievable. Why? Because that one little prosecuting angel says, hey, you know what? I saw him honor his friend. He had an urge to speak Lashon Hara, but he didn't do it. He held himself back. He went and he held the door open for that person. He lent money to his friend, to his neighbor who was poor. He gave tzedakah. He honored another individual. Therefore, what? Midah keneged midah. We should honor him as well. So yes, Gilui Arayot is much worse than Gezel. However, everything would have been prevented, the destruction of the world would have been prevented if there was at least Ben Adam L'Chavero. But even that there wasn't. And for that reason, that tipped the scales. Lo nechtam gezar dinam el ala Gezel. The Pasuk tells us, Ele toldot Noach, Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya bedorotav, that he was a tzaddik dafka in his generation. As we quoted the Rashi before, there are two pshats in the Rashi. What does it mean he was a tzaddik dafka in his generation? So the first pshat in Rashi was what was praising him. Yesh mirabotenu. Focus on the words for a second. Yesh mirabotenu dorshim oto lishvach. There are from our rabbanim, our rabbis, our tzaddikim, that view Noach in a praiseworthy way. That what? Kol sheken she'ilu haya bedor tzadikim haya tzadik yoter. If it was a tzadik in such a bad generation, all the more so if he lived in another generation filled with Rasha'im, he'd be an even much greater tzaddik. I'm sorry, a generation with tzaddikim, he'd be an even much greater tzaddik. And then Rashi continues, listen to the words, Ve'yesh shedorshim oto lignai, and others view Noach in a negative way. You saw the change in Lashon? The first pshat, it says, Ve'yesh merabotenu. The second pshat it says, not Ve'yesh merabotenu and other rabbis view, no. It says, Ve'yesh shedorshim oto lignai. And others, who are these others? Or other? Says Ohev Yisrael, the Apter Rav, Noach himself. Noach himself. Noach was critical of himself. He said, I'm not all that. I'm not all that. I'm not such a great tzaddik. If I'd be in another generation, I'd be just an average Joe. I only stand out because the generation is filled with Rasha'im. Noach said that about himself. Because that's a siman of a true tzaddik, someone who's humble. That shows that he was really a tzaddik. That's one way to learn this Rashi. But perhaps another way to learn this Rashi is as follows. Rashi is teaching us a lesson. Rashi is trying to show us the contrast between right and wrong. The correct way to view another Jew and the incorrect way to view another Jew. Rashi tells us, Yesh merabotenu. Rabbis represent Torah values. And Torah values tell us to always speak positively about other Jews. Yesh merabotenu shedorshim oto lishvach means what? Rashi is telling us the Torah perspective of how to view another Jew should be always in a positive way. View Jews in a positive way. Noach, tzaddik. He was a tzaddik in this generation. In other generations, for sure you'd be a tzaddik. Wow, such a special person. And then Rashi is showing us the contrast, how not to view a Jew. How not to think about another Jew. And Rashi tells us what's the incorrect way to view another Jew? To always find something negative to say. There's some people, they're such negative thinkers. You could find yourself in the most positive of scenarios. They'll always have something negative to say. They'll always find a way to twist it in a negative way. Found a way to twist Noach in such a negative way. He's not all that. All of this shows the importance of Ben Adam L'Chaverot always viewing others in a positive way. The importance of your fellow Jew. I'll end off with a story. As we're coming off of the holidays, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah. So one of the holiest times of the Chagim is Simchat Torah. The time that we're going around the Bima with a Sefer Torah, dancing, and all the Sifrei, Kabbalah, Chassidut, they speak so highly about the Hakafot, has tremendous impact on your Torah learning for the rest of the year, has a tremendous impact on your offsprings and how connected they're going to be to Torah. So someone once came to the Chavetz Chaim, unbelievable story, and asked the Chavetz Chaim, Rebbe, what should I be thinking, what should I be pondering while I'm going around in a circle, doing the Hakafot of Simchat Torah? So this person was anticipating that the Chavetz Chaim would answer him, some deep thought, deep insight, and by thinking that insight, going around doing the Hakafot, he'd be able to meditate that thought and elevate himself to such a high level during this holy time. The Chavetz Chaim, this guy was in for a surprise. Chavetz Chaim, the master of Ben Adam L'Chaverot, master, the king. Chavetz Chaim answered, I'll tell you what to think about. When you go around in a circle and you're sandwiched and you're squished in between many, many Jews that are also dancing, make sure you don't step on anyone's feet. Make sure you don't step on anyone's toes. It might hurt them. Because you know what? Since there will be so many people dancing, it's going to be hard for you to find out whose feet you stepped on. And if you don't know who it was, you won't be able to find him and apologize. The Chafetz Chaim thought. That's the Chafetz Chaim for you. Chafetz Chaim in a nutshell, that's the Chafetz Chaim in a nutshell, this story. Where he devoted his entire life to Hilchot Lashon Hara because of the importance of another Jew's feelings, the importance of another Jew's livelihood, how caring you need to be about each and every single Jew, no matter who they are. No matter who they are. So, Zat Hashem, the opposite is also true. If Lo Nechtam Gzar Dinam Ela La Gezel, lack of Ben Adam La Chavero was the cause, was the trigger that destroyed the world in the Dor Mabul, so Avat Chinam, Avat Yisrael, perfecting Ben Adam La Chavero in the opposite direction, can have an even stronger power, stronger energy of protecting other Jews, even across the other side of the world, of saving the world from destruction, saving Am Yisrael from destruction, and saving us from horrible, horrible punishments that we really deserve. Hashem, we should all be zocheh through the mitzvah of Ben Adam L'Chavero, of caring about others and helping others. Should all be zocheh to having a very, very good life. And Mizrat Hashem, the third Beit HaMikdash, which was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam, which was a lack of Ben Adam L'Chavero, should be rebuilt because of Avat Chinam. Thank you guys so much.